She's a legend in entertainment. She's got a great book out, and Marion Ross is joining us on the line to talk about, well, as much as we can. Hi, Marion.
Hi, my darling. And now I'm beginning to hear your Canadian accent. You have very little.
We were just talking before going on the air that Marion has a connection to Canada, and you were born in Minnesota, so not too far from Winnipeg, where I'm from.
But my mother was from Tisdale, Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, right.
So we would go to Winnipeg quite a bit, and all the way we would drive up to Tisdale. So Canada means a lot to me.
Do you have any fond memories of Winnipeg? I'm going to put you on the spot now that we mention it.
What I think I mostly remember is a museum up in the top of the store, the big store.
Oh, of Eaton's or at Sears?
Probably Eaton's.
Yeah.
And it was all kinds of Eskimo artifacts up there.
Right.
Do they still have that?
No. Well, no, it's the Bay now. Things have changed a little bit, but
so it was fascinating,
right,
to see those things, those relics. That was quite a collection.
Was that the same store that had all those Christmas storefronts in the winter in December? Do you know?
Oh yes, Eaton's.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a big thing.
It was.
And we would get the Eaton's catalog.
Yes.
And pour through that.
Wanting everything on every page.
Right.
Well, you know, I mentioned at the top you've got a book. It's called My Days Happy and Otherwise that you put out last year, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I have to know, what keeps you going? I think you've got the book.
No, I am retired. Do you know that I've been retired for the last 3 years? Because one of the last shows I said to them, I said, what is that line? They said, well, it's very simple. I said, I know, but I forgot it. What is it? What is it? So I said, you know, I think I'm going to have to wrap it up here.
But, I mean, you know, you've obviously left your mark in entertainment and so many legendary roles, of course. I'm also thinking about Happy Days. And, again, that left such a mark on pop culture still to this day, right? People are watching the show on streaming services
or
DVD.
People of a certain generation. There is a younger generation that doesn't know anything about it, you know. But that's okay. Although there are reruns.
Yes.
And the Fonz keeps himself going so great. He's got a new series, Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes. Yeah. Now, with all of these shows that are coming back, Marion, I have to ask you, if they said, you know what, let's bring back Happy Days, what would you say?
Well, I don't think I can remember all this stuff anymore. When you're 90,
yeah.
I'm fortunate to be so healthy and ambulatory, right?
Of course.
But it would be awful not to be able to remember all the lines, you know?
Oh, but they would help you out. They would.
They hold up a little sign. Can you read that?
Well,
can you read that? Okay, that's what you're supposed to say. So say, oh, Howard, because Howard died, our director Jerry Paris died,
yeah.
Our creator Gary Marshall died.
Yeah.
I mean, people are, you know, coming and going. But I'm very close to Ron, and I'm very close to Henry Winkler, you know.
And, you know, with all due respect to Henry, though, you made the show. It was you. Come on.
Oh, my darling. Are you Irish?
Ukrainian. You know, let me ask you about that, because I know that you had a lot of your TV family contributing to the audiobook, right? So you still...
Everybody has written. Even Erin. Even Erin before she died. And Gary before he died. So everybody has contributed. And we were a very fun, close-knit group. And, you know, we had our softball team. We were all very good athletes.
Yeah.
You really couldn't be on Happy Days if you couldn't play softball, you know. So.
Tell me what that bond was like, though, because, again, like you say, you're still a family, really, after all these years.
Yes, and that doesn't happen with every TV show.
Right.
But we were 11 seasons, so
yeah.
That's a long time. And the fact that we... For some reason, we just all bonded very closely, but it does not happen in every series, really. It doesn't. Mm.
What would you think would be the? What do you credit the success? Is it the writing? Is it the cast? You talk about, you know, the director, the creator. Why? How did it last 11 seasons?
Well, look at you got the Fonz. When right. once we hit upon the Fonz, he was such a sensation. You know, absolutely stopped the world. And so that, I want to give him full credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had Vicki Lawrence on the show, and she talked about how the TV industry, the landscape has changed since, of course, the days of, you know, the Carol Burnett Show and Mama's Family. What do you think of the business now?
I want to be able to tune in and get the whole season. You could sit down for a whole weekend and watch, you know. No. We want to wait for Tuesday night, you know, 8 o'clock, so then you could talk about it when you went to school the next morning.
Right.
It isn't special enough if you can get a whole season and take it home and watch it whenever you want to.
Right. There's no more of that anticipation of, you know, what's going to happen, and yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow at work or at school.
No, and you know, it's only each show is only 20 minutes of filming.
Right.
So that's not very much, and that's got to hold you for another whole week. You know?
Yeah. You're right. I mean, we're so I don't want to say ADD, but we just have that immediate need, and then we move on if we don't get it now.
We do, yeah. So it's interesting.
Do you have one favorite memory, though, from the days of working with the cast or being on the show?
Oh, God, it's pretty hard to have one
yeah.
because we had almost every day was just sensational. One of my favorites was that Marion was in a dance contest, and she got the Fonz to go to dance with her, and it made Howard so mad, you know, and why was I always sneaking off to go to this dance rehearsal? And so the Fonz and I won a dance contest, and we had to, the studio had to hire a special woman to come and teach us this tango. Henry learned it in 1 minute, you know. It took me several days to do this thing, but that's what really one of my favorites.
Could you remember the dance if you and Henry got together now? Could you do it?
You bet, because he would lead. He would do it, you know. He was a very inventive, natural dancer. You know, he would make up dances and things.
You know, Marion, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to make that happen, okay? Don't tempt
okay.
me. Don't tempt
right.
me. And so in our final remaining moments, let's talk about the book. I said it's called My Days Happy and Otherwise. It's your memoir, really.
Yes.
What prompted you to write it?
I'm from Minnesota, and
right.
because of my Canadian mother, I was raised to you can be anything you want. You can do anything. And also I had a crippled brother, younger than me, so that it's sort of, and I was a middle child, it was sort of a lot of motivation. I felt rather that I had to become something pretty special, you know. So did you feel that way when you were growing up?
I was the youngest, and I was the only one. I was the only one really into the arts. My brothers did the sports and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I was playing piano, I was writing, and then get into broadcasting. And I've been doing that for 13 years. So, but once
you had to be very driven, you know, because this is not easy, and there's a lot of competition.
Oh, for sure.
But you know, by the time I was, my family moved from Minnesota after the Great War, World War II, and we moved to San Diego because my father worked for the Navy. And that was a good thing because we had the Globe Theater there,
mm-hmm.
great theater. And by the time I finished college, a woman ran off and eloped. So a woman at the college had a connection in Hollywood, and she took me on the train, and she took me up to 20th Century Fox because I had run off and gotten married, you know, and I had been in all the plays, so that's how that happened.
Well, you know, I was going to say, the story that starts in Tisdale, Saskatchewan, and ends up in Hollywood, I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
No, what are the odds on that? What are the odds on that? It's very slim. But that never occurred to me that I couldn't do this. No. It's like, right.
Yeah.
And it was so wonderful to be at Paramount. This was in 1953, 54. In those days, all the actors were on the lot. C.B. Nimmel had his own special table at lunch. All the actors were there in the big dining room. Marlene Dietrich would come sweeping across, you know, and Martin and Lewis were all sitting over there having lunch. Mm. It was, and you could go on any sound stage, and there's big stars. James Mason, they're all there shooting stuff. Now when you go to the studio, there's nobody there.
Right.
Because mostly they go on location, you know?
Right.
They're out of town somewhere.
For sure. Okay, so I asked you about, you know, one memory of the time on Happy Days, but let me talk about then show business in general. Obviously, you have those memories of your first visits to studios and things. What was sort of maybe one defining moment where you said, wow, life is good?
Oh, mostly I would be saying, life is horrible.
Okay.
This is tough. Because what you would feel was this tremendous competition around you and beautiful people. Talented and beautiful people surrounding you everywhere. So one morning, we would go up to makeup just to be fixed up, maybe to have our picture taken or something.
Right.
And there was a girl sitting under the dryer next to me, and she got up and up and up and up, and it was Audrey Hepburn.
Oh wow!
And she was exactly my age. And I wanted to die right there. So mostly you felt the pain of the competition around you, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, again, like I said, not everybody makes it in the business, and obviously you had something, right?
Well, I did, and when I was about, so I'm 22 years old, and I'm under contract to Paramount. By the time I was 25, it occurred to me that this was all about, show business was all about selling. Ah, so I hired a press agent. Ah, ha, ha.
Okay.
Because I could see when I'm reading the trades every day, oh, this has all been put in here by somebody's press agent. So that made a big difference. And that press agent, Barbara Best, took a great interest in me. And she was always trying to shape my career, make it happen, making these things. It's you have to, once it occurred to me that it was a business, not just an art form.
Mm-hmm. And so, well, absolutely. And so the business obviously has changed over the years. So what advice, now that you're in your mid-30s, Marion,
yes.
Tell me, what advice would you give somebody who maybe just happens to show up in Los Angeles and wants to make it big? Like, obviously, it recognize the business side of things, I would say.
Now there are so many, but there are so many outlets.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, you had like three studios. Then you added, a little later, you added Universal. Okay, and then you had four.
Right.
Now, it's vast. If they, I think the best thing to do is try to get some important agent, somebody
okay.
kind of powerful, to get interested in you, you know, and to show you the ropes, show you how you do this, because somebody is doing it all the time.
Right.
Now, how did they do this? And that was what I spent a lot of energy all those young years figuring out, I gotta make this happen. How can I make this? So I was less interested at that point in the acting itself. I was interested in the selling. So hiring a press agent, she's guiding me now, you know?
Right.
I need to shape it and guide it. So I would think, now we assume you're talented, right? We assume you're good looking. We assume we got all those. You got all those things.
Yeah.
Now, how are you going to make this work? That's where I hired the press agent.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's there's the business side of things.
Into a business.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, otherwise girls are, first of all, marrying the wrong guy, going on, you know, just getting the wrong advice at every turn. You look at a career like Marilyn Monroe's. What a tough, hard row that was, you know? Mm-hmm. But by God, and she was gone by the time she was, what, 35, something?
About that. Yeah.
For me to now end up at 90, here I am at 90, and I'm enjoying where I am. I'm enjoying what I had. I don't have to do any more of it. No. It's fun.
Yeah. You still kind of want to, though, right? You still want to, but...
Oh, I don't at all. I can watch anybody else doing and then say, you do that, darling. You go and do that. You know, my son is a very good actor and is working all the time and does commercials, and his name is Jim Meskimen. Mm-hmm. Know that last name?
Yeah.
I'll spell it for you. M-E-S-K-I-M-E-N. And my daughter has a contract with, what has Ellen's got a contract with? Anyway, she it was a writer-producer on Friends, of all things. Friends! My daughter, Ellen. So she's creating, she has a job creating a new television series.
That's incredible. So let me ask you then, when it comes to passing down your love of entertainment, was that something that you hoped your kids would get involved in?
No, I didn't particularly want them to have to go through this, you know? But the next thing you know, that's what they are knowing and learning just from by watching your life, you know?
And that has to be a good feeling, knowing that you can relate to what they're going through and they to you.
Oh, absolutely. We're very, and what's wonderful, because I don't pick up on the angst of any of this. I'm not, they're just fine. They've already done so well to get this far. My son came over early this morning to bring me a green drink made of all kinds of herbs and parsley and some kind of thing for me to drink this morning. And he's very creative. He is always making it happen, because that's the one thing that they saw me, that they learned from me. I didn't sit around here waiting for the brownies and the fairies to come and find me. No, I realized that somehow you have to make this happen. You got to make this happen. So, and there's 100 ways to do it. No specific. In fact, one time I played in the movie Lust for Life with Kirk Douglas, and I played a nun at the end of the movie. It was a very nice part. And so after it was all over, I'm reading the trades, and I see he's going to make another movie. So I write him a letter, and I say, I would love to meet you out of my habit. Out of my habit. Well, I got a phone call right away. You know? So he put me, then when he finally met him, me, I was so shy, and, you know, I was not aggressive at all. Anyway, he put me in the movie right away. But so I worked hard to make this all happen.
Absolutely. And so I know that everybody can, again, read about that in the book and listen to the audiobook as well. It's called My Days Happy and Otherwise, right?
And, you know, and all of the cast, they all wrote a little chapter at the end of the book. Every one of them.
Right.
Even Aaron. Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely it's worth checking out. And so, Marion, I say that next winter we go tobogganing somewhere in Saskatchewan.
All right. I think that's a good idea. At least a hayride or something like that over the meadows, through the wheat fields, all the stubble. Yeah.
There we go. We'll have some hot chocolate, and there we go. That it's a date. Okay.
All right. I enjoyed talking to you, darling.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Marion. All the best to you.